May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one who died and rose, ascended on high, and has poured out on us the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come this day and always. Teach us, guide us, lead us to know Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to follow Jesus, to serve Him all our days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. He is a complex person. He is a mysterious person. He is often a misunderstood person. Who is this person? Take a wild guess on Pentecost. Of course, I'm talking about the person, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Just who is the Holy Spirit, and just what does the Holy Spirit do? Consider the Trinity, our God, one God, three persons. There's God the Father. He's our Creator, we say in the Creed, made all things. We understand that. He made me, made the world, sustains life, the great Creator, how good and gracious He is. We think of the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. He became man, was born, lived, died, rose, ascended. That's Jesus, God and man, our Savior. He saved us. That's easy enough to understand. Then there's the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Just who is He and what do they do? We say in summary, the Spirit sanctifies us. That's from the catechism that we read a little bit of. The Spirit sanctifies me. Well, what does that mean? Let me today, Pentecost, summarize the work of the Spirit, saying three things about the Spirit. Many things one could say, but I want to talk about how the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, and He is a humble Spirit, and He's a hurried Spirit. This might summarize the Spirit. First of all, the Bible calls Him the Holy Spirit. That's not an adjective we give to Him. That's one the Bible gives Him. He's called the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Right off the bat, this shows a great contrast between the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and all the evil spirits. There are many, many, many evil spirits in this world. They're fallen angels, and the head of the evil spirits is the devil. And there are hundreds and thousands of evil spirits all over. And they would want to hurt us and destroy us and harm us, take away our faith if they could, tempt us, harass us, cause all sorts of problems for us that we don't believe in Jesus, we don't go to church, we don't want the word of the sacrament, and then we go to hell. There are hundreds and thousands of evil spirits, but we're not afraid. One reason we have the Holy Spirit. And one Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is greater than all the evil spirits. For He is holy. He is pure. He is perfect. There's no evil in the Holy Spirit. He has no evil desire for us. He doesn't want to hurt us or destroy us or harm us. He seeks our good. He's a merciful Spirit, kind Spirit, a gracious Spirit, a forgiving Spirit, and His main purpose as the Holy Spirit, His main purpose is to make us holy. We sinful, evil, wicked people, He desires. It is ever His purpose to make us holy, to make us pure and perfect in the Father's eyes so that we go to heaven. He's not the Holy Spirit who sits up in heaven and says, look at how holy I am. I'm perfect. I'm pure. But you're not. Ha, ha, ha. What good is that? He's the Holy Spirit, and that He wants to make us holy and pure, that we enter heaven and be holy forever with our holy God. Think of it this way. Jesus, the Holy One, the Son of God, He became man. And Jesus lived a holy life. He is the Holy One, they called Him, right? One of the words for Jesus, the Holy One. He died for our sins. He rose again. He ascended. Jesus Christ has provided and produced forgiveness for the entire world. There is overflowing forgiveness of sins for the past, for Moses, Adam and Eve, and all those folks, all of us today, and all those that will live in the future, how long the world lasts. There's enough forgiveness, it abounds. Forgiveness from the cross and the resurrection, it ever flows and abounds. There's forgiveness, righteousness, holiness for all people. It's produced, it's done, it's finished. That's Jesus. But, of course, the key question always is, how do I get it? Poor little me in Knoxville, Tennessee, And I sin a lot, and so do you. And that's 2,000 years ago. It's great history, but after all, it's back 2,000 years ago. How in the world do I get this forgiveness for my sins? How does it get applied to me so that I am forgiven? I am pure. I am perfect. All my sins washed away. So that I'm going to heaven. It's great to have all this forgiveness, but if I can't get it, who cares? Somehow I have to get it. It has to become mine so that I'm pure, I'm holy, and I'm going to go to heaven. And this precisely is the work of the Holy Spirit. If you will, He is the personal person of the Trinity. They're all personal, if you will. The Holy Spirit, He walks with us. He's with us. He's very personal. He applies to us the forgiveness won at Calvary's cross, that I be pure and holy, and He convinces me of that and gives me faith to believe it. When I was a teenager in the summertime, you know, on Saturdays, how late did I want to sleep? We got some teenagers there in the back. How long do you guys sleep on Saturdays? At least till noon, am I right? Close thereby, anyway. Kelsey, you're smiling right now. You know, every kid wants to sleep in, especially if you work during the week. You want to sleep in all summer long if you can. But my dad had other ideas on hot Saturday mornings. My dad worked all week. He wanted to do housework and that kind of yard work on the weekend, get some of the jobs done. And one thing my dad loved to do is to have the cars washed. We didn't have the car washes we had now. You just spray a gun and they're done in 5 minutes. You know, we had to go out and wash them. And so my dad wanted to try to get me up at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning to try to go out and wash the cars. That was my job. And my dad would set up, my dad was kind and gracious, made it easy for me. He got the wax out, he got the brushes out, the towels out. He even got a 5-gallon big bucket of soapy water. He had everything laid out there right by the vehicles. It was all laid out right there it was. But he had to try to get me up to actually apply it. And he did. My mom couldn't have done it, but my dad could do it. What's the point in having soapy water and wax and towels if it never gets applied to the vehicle? Who cares about that stuff? If it's never applied, the car remains dirty. Same way with Christianity. Jesus has produced and supplied forgiveness of sins. That's His wonderful work. But if it never gets applied to dirty old me, what's it matter? The Holy Spirit gets up on Pentecost, if you will. Not that He doesn't do anything in the Old Testament. He does do things in the Old Testament. But He rises up on Pentecost early that day and He applies it to you and I. And that leads to point number two. He's the Holy Spirit, but then also I suggest He's a humble Spirit. For He does all this work of making me holy, applying to me the forgiveness of sins. He does all this work in a very humble, humble way. He's a shy Spirit. He's a bit timid. He doesn't want to draw attention to Himself. He wants all the attention on Jesus. Look to Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Eat Jesus' body. Drink Jesus' blood. Go to Jesus. He ever points us to Jesus. He ever works in a humble, lowly way that we ever trust in Jesus. Not anything else but Jesus. Notice the day of Pentecost, how the Holy Spirit comes. Now, initially, momentarily, He comes in a very spectacular, flashy way. It's impressive. He comes as a mighty wind. Wow. It really means a violent wind. He's knocking down all the walls of unbelief and fear that the church had. Knocking down all that the church may go now. He's the mighty wind and He's a fire on their heads. Thus we have the great window here. Flashy, impressive, but it's only momentary. And why didn't the Holy Spirit come that way now? Where's the mighty wind? We can manufacture fire, but where's the fire on my head? It's just momentary. And He does that to give evidence that indeed it's Him. That it's not an evil spirit. It's not the devil who's here, but it is God Himself. Because God in the Old Testament often appears as wind and fire. There's all this very Old Testament roots to it. The Spirit often comes as wind. The Jews believe that Spirit was the wind, if you will. Ruach is the Hebrew word. It's translated Spirit and wind kind of combined. You think of Noah's flood. How did God make the water recede and dry up at Noah's flood? By a wind. And that wind wasn't just a wind, it was the Spirit of God. How did God part the Red Sea? By a strong wind. And that wind was the Spirit of God. The wind is the Spirit, so He appears as a wind to say, knucklehead, it's the Spirit. It's God. It's not an evil spirit. And fire, of course, is a great manifestation of God in the Old Testament. The burning bush, the pillar of fire that leads the Israelites across the desert by night, the whole ministry of Elijah, who is called the prophet of fire, calling down fire. God is in the fire, you see. And so he appears as wind and fire to say, this is the God of the Old Testament. This is the Spirit of the Old Testament, the blessed, eternal, third person of the Trinity. But then he works in other ways. There isn't an actual mighty wind that we feel today. We wish the air conditioner worked a little more powerfully though, Pat. And there's no tongue of fire on our heads, actually, literally, that we see. How does he work the rest of the text? After this mighty wind and great fire, how does he work the rest of the text? Through the preaching of humble men. Through the word of God that is spoken. Peter doesn't say, look at the wind and the fire, folks, and be converted. Peter then, full of the Holy Spirit, preaches the gospel. And so do the other 11. These humble men, fishermen, a tax collector in Matthew, humble, lowly men with no qualifications, no credentials, other than they've been with Jesus, which is enough, obviously. These humble men speak of Jesus. They speak of his birth, life, death, and resurrection, and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. And through that humble, proclaimed word, how many are converted on Pentecost? Do you know? How many are baptized on Pentecost? 3,000. And these 3,000 are baptized. We see the way the Spirit works through the preaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of God's Word, and then the water of holy baptism. And then certainly we add in the bread and wine of Holy Communion, the body and blood of Christ. Here's the workplaces of the Spirit. They're humble. They're not impressive. A proclaimed word by a pastor, and then you have bread and wine, and you have a little bit of water and confession and absolution. These are the humble means of the Spirit. And yet he's ever saying, look to Jesus, look to Jesus, look to Jesus. In all the flashy stuff of the world, look to Jesus. You see, we often think things are spiritual if they're flashy. And people are waving their hands, right? And they're cheering loud. And they're crying and moaning and running around in the pews. Oh, they're a spiritual church. Maybe. Maybe it's all a big show. And I have my suspicions on that greatly, although I can't judge. Because the Spirit I know in the Bible is always very humble. He's not about a big show. There can be emotion, certainly, but it's always secondary. We don't read about people crying and moaning on Pentecost. It's the proclaimed word of God that people hear. It's water. It's bread and wine. The humble means of the Spirit to say, go to Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Eat his body. Drink his blood. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, I read an article this week about goofy laws in various states in America. Every state has some strange laws that probably are on their books from years ago that are still on their legal books. You know what goofy law they have in Arkansas? We can pick on our Western neighbors, can't we? They have a law that if you live there, you have to pronounce the word Arkansas correctly. So don't call it Arkansas, okay? Or Arkansas. And I'm used to that because I lived in Illinois, and how do people often pronounce Illinois? Illinois. Okay, the S is silent, as it is in Arkansas. There's no S at the end that you hear. Who cares? The Spirit wants you to know one name. And don't, if you can, mispronounce the name. That's not all important that you believe this name and know this name. And that's the name Jesus. As the Son of God, the Christ who died and rose for your salvation. Know that name, Jesus. And then last of all, he is a hurried spirit. The Holy Spirit is not lazy. He's not laid back. Ah, ho hum, we have plenty of time to tell the world. No big deal. Take your time, First Lutheran. He is not a lazy, apathetic spirit. He's a hurried spirit. He's ever pulling the church along. Come on, we got a dying world out there. We got a lost world. We must go tell the gospel to the ends of the earth. Come on, church. He's pulling us because we're often lazy and apathetic and don't care enough. As I read the story of Pentecost, there's great urgency to the story. Why does the Spirit do a miracle and enable these men to speak in other languages? I'll tell you why. So that the people hear the word of God and believe and are saved that day. We're not going to put it off. We're not going to let them go back and wonder who Jesus is. I'm going to enable you to speak in another language this day so that they hear the gospel this day, they be baptized this day, and they be saved, because it's urgent. It's urgent. This is life and death and heaven and hell. That's why he enables this miracle. And may he push the church to speak the gospel and not be lazy and apathetic. We pray this day over and over. This is the liturgical prayer for Pentecost, not one that I made up. It's in our liturgical prayers we have. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We don't pray, come, Holy Spirit, come tomorrow because I'm too busy today. Or come, Holy Spirit, come next week when I can work you in my schedule because I'm so busy with other things. Come, Holy Spirit, come now today and do what? Kindle in me the fire of your love. You know, I thought about that this week. It doesn't sound like a real Lutheran prayer. The Lutheran prayer would be more, come, Holy Spirit, come and keep me in the truth. And that's a wonderful prayer too. All right, that's of primary importance. And I believe the Spirit has done a wonderful job as I look at the Lutheran church in general of keeping us in the truth of the law and the gospel, the word and the sacraments. We have the truth. Praise be to the Spirit. But don't stop there. What's the big deal if I have the truth and my neighbor goes to hell? What have I done for my neighbor? And so we pray, kindle in us the fire of love. Yes, keep me in the truth. Without that, there is no love. But kindle in me the fire of love, because I'm often loveless. And I'm so stinking lazy and selfish that I don't care enough about my dying neighbor. Kindle in me now today, Spirit, the fire of love. It's urgent that I do my part to show your love, to serve my neighbor, and to speak of Jesus. Another goofy law I read this week about Kentucky. See, I'm being very nice to Tennessee today, Pat. You know what goofy law they have in Kentucky? In Kentucky, it is a law that you must take a shower or a bath at least once a year. That's Kentucky. Once a year, you got to have a bath whether you want it or not. Put it off for months, but be bathed once a year. I know it's just some goofy law no one pays attention to anymore. There are a lot of dirty people, grimy people in Kentucky, in Tennessee, in Arkansas, in Indiana, in China, in South America, in Australia, in Russia. They are dirty and grimy and evil and sin and unbelief. And they need the shower of the mercy of God, the shower of baptism, the shower and bath of God's grace. May the Spirit move the church throughout the world and us here in Knoxville to go give the world a shower. Go tell them of Jesus and His blood. Go bring them to baptism that they receive the mercy and grace of God right here personally. And let's not do it once a year, but once a day, twice a day. Tell someone. Invite someone. Today we thank God for the Holy Spirit, who is a humble spirit, who is a hurried spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. We stand.